Makeover Expert. Welcome to Business Makeover 2014. Today, right now, consider, what do you really, really, really want? Because we're going to springboard into aligned action, 21 experts, 21 days. You know, that's what it takes to develop new ways of thinking, new habits, so that we can make this year our best year yet, our quantum leap year. I've got so much in store, and I have my favorite guest, don't tell anyone, of all 21 guests today is Clint Arthur, and we'll be spending time with him. I'm so selfish because I get to hang out with him for one full hour, and you get to play with me. Isn't this exciting? So allow yourself to be here now, to dream big, to release that which isn't working, and embrace new and more productive thoughts and actions. This is our breakthrough quantum leap year, Business Makeover 2014. Now, let me tell you a little bit about Clint. Clint is a Renaissance man. He went to the Wharton School of Business, and he has a butter company where he sells the best butter on the planet. He is a serial entrepreneur. Those are just bookends to a really illustrious career with some highs and some lows, and I'm going to have him share a little bit of his story with us today. Perhaps the most amazing thing about Clint is that Clint digs deep when it comes to defining your personal brand. What is unique, different, amazing about you? And how do you uncover that and communicate that so that you can leverage your business and your life and really make 2014 your best year yet? I've had this experience with Clint where he has worked with me personally to help me understand what it is that's so amazing about me specifically so that I can use my own personal brand to leverage my business and to get my message to more and more people. I believe in business. I believe in Clint. I'm so glad you're here today. Hey, Clint.
Hey, thank you very much, Ellen. It is a pleasure to be here. You know, you were like calling me up, trying to recruit me onto this thing, and I'm like, Ellen, whatever you want, I'll be there. No sweat. Why is that? Because you and I have a relationship that's gone back now more than 2 years.
Uh-huh.
And we've been working together and having fun together and partying together and building our professional careers together. I've watched you grow and you've watched me grow. And girlfriend, you're in my inner circle, so of course, anything you want, you got it. But you know,
are such a page. I was reminded when that was happening of the classic sales skill that when someone says yes, stop talking. So when I asked you and you said yes, it was all of like 0.5 seconds, and I thought, oh, he's just saying yes. It's time to say thank you. So I'm so glad you're here. But we have grown together, and we have a lot more great adventures in store. But I think the most important professional experience that I've had in the last couple of years has been working with you and identifying what it is that is great and different about me. For those of you who are paying attention, you'll notice I'm really laying claim to being the plumber's wife. All of what I learned started in that position, that when I left my real job and I went to work for my husband, Hot Rod, in the plumbing business, that was the beginning of my career. And every great thing that's happened, every terrible thing that's happened, really stemmed from that moment, but it's all forged me into a business makeover expert. I understand what it is to start, fix, and grow a winning business, or to make one over if it's going in the wrong direction. So, Clint, thank you for that. And we're going to talk about that experience as well as a lot of other things. But you tell your story that you're one of the most famous people that I've never heard of. So I want you to tell a little bit of your story. It's an amazing tale, kids. So hang on to your hat. But share with us where you were on New Year's Eve for the millennium. This is a great story.
Yeah, well, you know, thank you. And really the question is, where were you, listener? Where were you on December 31st, 1999? Were you at the ATM getting your Y2K money out? I remember my girlfriend had a whole big, huge stack of $5 bills, brand new $5 bills.
Yeah, like was the sun not going to rise? My mother, too, was like filling a bathtub with water, and I remember thinking, really, this is making people kind of nuts. But it was a reflective moment, and it was for you.
Yeah, because I was driving a taxi that night in Los Angeles, California, And even though I was hanging out with more people than most people were hanging out with that night, they were all in the back of my cab, and I felt like I was totally alone. And even though I made more money that night than I would normally make in a full week of driving a taxi, I still felt like I was the biggest loser in the world. And when it was all over, I went back to the little tiny boat I was living on in Marina Del Rey, because that was the cheapest way to survive in Los Angeles. It was $282 a month. The only problem was that there was no heat, there was no water, there was no toilet facilities on the boat. And, you know, it was basically like camping out on a boat. And, but you know, it was fun. But when the night was over driving the taxi, I went back to the little boat and crawled into my bunk wearing all my heavy clothes and climbed in under my heavy down comforter. And I pulled out my favorite book to read to try to calm down, and that book was Angela's Ashes by Frank McCourt. And if you have not read that book, and you're a fan of beautiful prose, then you are kidding yourself.
I love that book.
If you think you've ever read any good English writing and you haven't read Angela's Ashes, then you're just kidding yourself, because that book blows away everything. So I'm laying there in the bunk reading by the light of my flashlight, and I get distracted by my breath because it's condensing in the night air.
That's how cold it is?
Yeah. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, that got me thinking, how the heck did I, Clint Arthur, become a taxi driver on New Year's Eve of the millennium, the night that everyone was out partying and living it up, I was driving a cab. And I started thinking back over my journey, because the book I was holding in my hand was actually written by my high school creative writing teacher. I studied with Frank McCourt for 2 years in high school, and he inspired me to want to be a great writer long before he ever won the Pulitzer Prize for that book, and it became a big A studio feature film. Then, after I graduated from Stuyvesant High School, I went to the Wharton Business School, the same school as Donald Trump, where he sent all his kids, and I had actually a 4.0 GPA in my major of entrepreneurial management. And
wow.
Donald Trump, being a New York Times bestselling author, he inspired me to want to be not just a great and successful writer, but a rich, successful writer as well. And then the trouble began, because it was late 80s, early 90s, and I saw this movie by Spike Lee called She's Gotta Have It. And in that movie, not only did he star in the movie, but he also wrote the movie. And he directed, produced, made a bunch of money off this little independent film, and I thought to myself, aha, this is really what I want. I want to be an independent filmmaker and make my money as an entrepreneur in that way. And that began my 10-year odyssey of pursuing the Hollywood dream. I moved out to Los Angeles. I banged my head up against that Hollywood dream for more than a decade. And at the end of that time period, there I was, laying in my bunk on this little boat. And I had been driving a cab for more than 5 years. And I'll tell you something, Ellen, I am not kidding around when I say at that moment I broke down and cried my eyes off, because I was terrified that I had screwed up all the possibilities that I had created for myself as a young kid, getting into the best business school in the world, working hard, getting the grades. And I made this one mistake of going after the wrong goal, and it put me behind the wheel of driving a cab, and I was terrified I was never going to be able to turn that around.
I want to underline that a second and let you get back to your story, but that's what this event is all about for me, is that there are these moments in life where you think, I'm on the wrong track, and I don't know how to get off. Or what am I doing? My life is going away from me, and I'm not really embracing it. So that moment really is the universal moment. It is what unites us. Certainly, if you're interested in this program, you can relate to what you're saying right here, Clint. So, okay, so there you are. You're broken down. Now what?
Well, I agree with you. I mean, I think that moment is what unites us all, because most people listening to this call are going to have some point in their lives where they hit rock bottom. Maybe they're there right now. I don't know. And I can tell you this. If I was able to turn it around the way I have, I believe honestly that anybody could. And I think what that was really all about for me was getting me to a point where I could say, you know what, I did this on my own, because I've turned it around completely. I'm laying on a lounge chair in a 6-star resort right now.
In Mexico, right?
I am at the nicest resort I think I've ever been in, and we're here for 15 nights and 16 days, and you know, like I don't care what the food costs. I don't care about anything. You know, money is so not an object. And I did it. I mean, I took myself from this point. I did not get inherited wealth. I did not have somebody hand me a business. I had to create it all out of my own freaking imagination. And it all began that night when I said, you know what, if being a writer and wanting to make my mark by writing stuff is going to put me behind the wheel and derail my life, then I've had it. I'm done with it. And I burned all the screenplays and all the books, and I swore I wasn't going to write anymore. And then I decided that, you know, it was me who wasn't showing up strong in this world, and that I needed to change who I was and how I was showing up. And so I dedicated myself to taking every single possible personal growth program that I could do. And I did it all, and I read it all. I listened to every tape and book. I walked on fire with Tony Robbins. I did Toltec Wisdom Studies with Don Miguel Ruiz himself. I did men's power circles and ceremonies, and it took a while. I'd say it took about a year, but I finally got out of driving a taxi, and I got into the gourmet food business, because as I started showing up differently, so did the outer circumstance in my life. And I started making money with the 5-star butter company. It's a long story. We don't have time to go into it now, but, you know, if you want to read about the story, go to 5starbutter.com. Those are all words spelled out, and you can read the true story of how I became the guy who sells the best butter on earth to the top chefs in the world.
And really, the short version of that is you saw a need for something, and then you filled it and capitalized it. That's really what I got out of hearing your story.
That is the truth. I needed it for myself. And then other people needed it too. And I filled that need and made a bunch of money.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, that money is what led me, well, you know, naturally, once I started making money, I met an amazing woman. We're here in Mexico celebrating our 10-year wedding anniversary now.
Oh, and congratulations. Hey, Miss Allie.
Thank you. Thank you. And you know, she believed in me more than I even believed in myself. She'd say, my honey is perfect. And I'd be like, who's that? And she's like, you're perfect, baby. Don't you get it? And, you know, finally I started believing it a bit. And one day she said, this is like 2002. She goes, you know, we should get involved in real estate. This was the real estate boom going on all around us. And I said, what do we know about real estate? I didn't know anything about real estate. But she's like, we should look into it. So I bought some books and tapes. I got Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I just got Rich Dad Poor Dad because I wanted to find out about what's this Rich Dad Poor Dad thing. Little did I know that, like 6 weeks later, after listening to all the tapes, I would be in escrow on my first house. And I made a bunch of money in the real estate boom. I built a bunch of houses. I became quite fat and happy. And we fast forward to 2008. You know, after all the big boom, I had made money in butter and real estate. And one night I was at a men's self-help campfire. And an old man on the other side of the campfire pointed at me through the yellow and orange crackling flames, and he said, you don't know it yet, but you're already dead. And I said, what the hell do you mean I'm already dead, man? I'm the most successful guy on this team. 8 years ago, I was a taxi driver. Now I'm a millionaire. I was living in a freezing little boat. Now I'm living in a mansion. What the hell are you talking about? He goes, you're already dead. You just don't know it. And I didn't know what the hell he was talking about, but I couldn't stop thinking about it either. And I'd wake up in the middle of the night mumbling to myself out of a sound sleep, I'm already dead, I'm already dead. What the hell does that mean, I'm already dead? And it came to be New Year's Day of 2009.
New Year's Day again. Look at that full circle moment there.
Yep, of 2009, I sat down with my annual ritual, because once I became successful – see, the men taught me some things that helped me to become successful, and one of them was that you sit down at the beginning of the year and make a list of goals for the year. So I sit down with my mimosa and a pad of paper and a pen, and I'm ready to write my goals. But that year, I was inspired by what the old guy said, and I asked myself a question that changed everything. You know, Tony Robbins says, you want to do better in your life, ask yourself better questions. And The question I asked was, if this was going to be the last year of my life, what would I want to accomplish this year? And the first thing was very surprising. It was, I have a book inside of me, and I need to write that book. And that book is called What They Teach You at the Wharton Business School. And I wrote that book, you know, I broke 9 years of not writing and knocked that book out in 3 months. I'd been wanting to write it for many, many years. I've been making lists. What did I really learn? What were the big takeaways from Wharton? And I wrote them all down in 3 months, and that became my first book. I also noticed that I was obese. I just happened to notice that day on New Year's Day that I was obese. And it had occurred to me at that point that I might have a weight issue that might need addressing. But on that day, I said, I got to get healthy again, and I did. I lost 40 pounds that year. And I also noticed that the economic downturn was wreaking havoc with my company. As a distributor, I was getting squeezed from both sides. Suppliers and customers were complaining. So I became a manufacturer and built a factory, and that really saved the business and helped us to go on to not just survive but thrive during the Great Recession and beyond. And the
okay, I'm going to interrupt you because there's things I want to underline as we go. One is that you started these habits of studying and reading good books and seeking out wisdom.